Okay, we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 this evening. Those of you who have been coming along will know we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're working our way through the Beatitudes at the moment. This sermon, of course, one of the probably the greatest sermons we find in the whole of the Bible, where our Lord teaches his disciples things they need to learn, things they need to know. And it's a sermon which is really giving us, certainly at the beginning here, the summary of the Christian character in the Beatitudes. We see what all Christians should be like in character. These Beatitudes are not simply different aspects that some Christians have and some don't. These are the aspects of character that all Christians should have all the time. And we also read it in the Sermon on the Mount, we find Jesus taking us back to the Old Testament laws, and he correctly interprets those where people have gone wrong, where people have become simply legalistic, and he gives us the moral outworking of that Old Testament law. How to live the Christian life. This is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. It's how to live as Jesus wants us to live. And as I said, we've been going through the Beatitudes, and we've been seeing the teaching that Jesus gives us in those. We notice a progression as we work through these Beatitudes. We see that they all flow from one to the next. This evening we're going to consider, as I said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And we will see again how this flows from the previous aspects of the Christian character. We've seen, haven't we, how those who become aware of their position before God, when you meet with God, you become aware of your position before God. We referred back to Isaiah in the Old Testament, where Isaiah came into the presence of Almighty God, and he bowed down and he realized how unworthy he was. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. He became aware of his position before God. And flowing on from that, when we become aware of our position before God, we mourn over the sin that we have in our lives. We want to put that away. We want to get rid of it. We want to serve God. We no longer have a spirit, we become humble in spirit. And then we come to the point of desiring to know God more and more, to know more of God's righteousness in our lives, living that out in the way that we live day by day. We become aware that righteousness is a gift of God, and that then results in compassion for others. We see the need other people have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have compassion and desire that they too should be saved. We don't think that some people are more worthy of salvation than others, because we know that in ourselves we're not worthy. There's nothing in us that makes us worthy of God's salvation. So we seek that salvation for other people. We want the lost to be saved. And that gives us the heart of God. And in that heart of God, we are purified in our own hearts, which leads us on to tonight's topic, to become the peacemakers that God wants us to be. What then does it mean to be a peacemaker? Many commentators take this to mean living a peaceful life in this world, doing what we can to ensure that we live at peace with everyone, making sure that we do everything we can to keep the peace and we don't cause problems for people. Well, undoubtedly that is true, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. Of course we should try to live at peace with everyone. But is that really what Jesus meant here when he said, blessed are the peacemakers? How can we reconcile this, in fact, in respect of other things that Jesus said, like we read in Matthew 10 there a few minutes ago, where he says about bringing a sword. Do not suppose, he says, I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. How then can we reconcile that teaching of Jesus in Matthew 10 with this teaching here that we need to be peacemakers? First of all, perhaps we need to understand what we mean by peace. And I know we've looked at this in the past, but it never goes amiss to have a reminder of these things. Now, if you go to the dictionary, you'll find the dictionary describes peace as an absence of war, strife, conflict, etc. So peace is an absence of conflict. But in order to have peace, there has to be a relationship of some sort, doesn't there? There has to be a relationship involved. Now, it could be a relationship between different countries. It could be a relationship between neighbours. It could be a relationship of marriage, a parent-child relationship, or perhaps most importantly, the relationship between us and God. Now, in all of those relationships, they can be in one of two states. You can be at conflict, or you can be at peace. In all relationships, you can be at conflict, or you can be at peace. If you have an argument with someone close to you, immediately there's tension, isn't there? And you know it, you can feel it. You can even feel it without saying something very often, can't you? The peace is gone, the peace is broken. There's tension, there's conflict. And it doesn't matter how petty the argument might be, as soon as there is this conflict, peace is destroyed. And it's only when that conflict has been resolved that the peace is restored. But is peace simply the absence of conflict? John F. Kennedy said, "The mere absence of war is not peace." The mere absence of war is not peace. He obviously considered there was something more to peace than simply an absence of conflict. And if you go back to the Old Testament, the word there that is used for peace, I'm sure you all know, is shalom. Which, as well as having the idea of peace, having the idea of absence from trouble, is much more positive because it conveys the meaning of harmony as well. So it's much more than simply an absence of conflict. There's the idea of living in harmony as well. You know, we're at peace with the French. We don't like them very much, do we? There's no conflict there, but there's not always harmony either, is there? Especially when you're playing football and things like that. So we might be at peace, but is there harmony? Not always. So when the Bible talks about peace, it's talking about something more than the absence of conflict. It's positive as well. We encourage harmony, being like-minded, being one in our attitudes, in our spirit. That's more what the Bible means by peace. And this is what is meant when we talk about being at peace with God. See, all of us have a relationship with God. Everybody in this world has a relationship with God. They might not want to believe it, but it's true. God intended us to be at peace in that relationship. But we have damaged that relationship through our sin, through our disobedience, and we have caused conflict in our relationship with God. We have destroyed the peace between us and God by our sin and our disobedience. We have destroyed the harmony. You know, in the beginning, when God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there was peace. There was no conflict of any sort whatsoever. But as soon as Adam sinned, what happened? He lost that peace. He hid from God because he'd lost the peace between him and God. And it was then that conflict first entered into the world. Adam's sin caused conflict, first of all, between man and God. His disobedience resulted in God punishing mankind, of God bringing judgment upon mankind. The peace between man and God was destroyed. It also broke the peace between mankind ourselves. Adam tried to blame the woman, didn't he, for what had gone wrong? And there was tension in that relationship for the first time. Conflict between men and women, which carries on till today. Trust me, I know. It carries on. Conflict between men and women. Conflict between, you know, mankind. And also, there's conflict between man and nature. Man had to toil the ground to eat. The first animals had to die in order to clothe Adam and Eve. And that conflict still continues today and will continue until the day God renews all things. So since that time, man has had no peace. There's a problem within our souls. We all know it. There's something missing. It's like a jigsaw that's got a piece missing. We have the peace missing in our lives because we are in conflict with God. Peace can only be restored when that relationship is put right. We can only have peace with God when our relationship with him. Primarily, when the Bible refers to peace, it's talking about the restoration of a harmonious relationship with God. That's primarily what it's talking about. So what does Jesus then mean when he talks about being a peacemaker? I don't know what you think of when you think about peacemakers. I suppose, perhaps in general, we tend to think of people like Gandhi or organisations like the United Nations who are there to try and preserve the peace in this world. People who've gone out of their way to be peaceful and to bring about peace. People in institutions that strive for world peace. And not forgetting, of course, the Miss World pageant where they all want world peace. That's the sort of things we think about, isn't it? Those are the people we think of who perhaps when we think about world peace. You know, every year someone is awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, aren't they? You know, for services to world peace. And if you go onto the internet and you look at the people who've been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, it can make interesting reading. And if you read it carefully, the word that crops up time and time again for the reason these people have been awarded this honour is efforts. They're given this award for their efforts in doing a particular thing, in particular piece or a particular job they've done. People who've made great efforts to bring peace into this world, into various situations around this world. Is that what Jesus is talking about here? People who make efforts to bring peace into the world? People who seek to make the world a better place by reducing conflict? I don't think that's what he means here at all. I think if we look around the world today, we're going to be forced to admit that in spite of all the efforts that people have made to bring about peace, those efforts have largely failed. Indeed, instead of finding ourselves more peaceful, as time goes by, the world seems to be falling into more and more conflict. It seems to become increasingly less peaceful. Everywhere we look, we see conflict, whether it's in personal lives, business lives, national lives, and global. Peace seems to have eluded us, doesn't it? So what does Jesus mean? Is it possible to be a peacemaker in this world that is full of conflict? Well, I think it is. Because Jesus is not talking about a worldly peace here. He's not talking about bringing peace between nations and peoples. He's talking on a spiritual level about bringing peace with God. The peacemakers Jesus has in mind are those who bring about peace with God. Well, you might ask, how do people come to peace with God and how can we be peacemakers in that process? Well, the Bible makes it clear, doesn't it? To be at peace with God is to restore, as we said, that harmonious relationship. And to do that, we must turn away from our own selfish desires and to live for God. No longer to live for ourselves, but instead to live for him. To repent from the sin that we've all committed. And to put our faith and trust in Jesus and to be obedient to him. And the Bible promises us, if we do that, if we repent of our sin, if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive us and he will restore that broken relationship. We will be forgiven. We will be back in a right relationship with God. This is what it means to be at peace with God. And this is only possible through what Jesus has done on the cross at Calvary. You see, Jesus is the peacemaker between man and God. It is because of what he has done that we're able to come back into that relationship with God. We can never do anything that will restore that relationship. Doesn't matter how many good things we do, it will never be enough. We're always tainted with our sin. It's like you need a white robe to get into heaven, and one sin puts a black stain on that white robe. It can't ever be taken away. What does Jesus do? He gives us his white robe so that we can get into heaven. That's what it means to be forgiven. That's what it means to be made righteous. That's what it means to be at peace with God. Okay, so you're thinking, well, how can I be a peacemaker then? If Jesus is a peacemaker between man and God, how can I be a peacemaker? I can't give my life on the cross at Calvary like Jesus did. I can't do what Jesus did because only Jesus could do that. How is it possible for me to be a peacemaker? Every single one of Jesus' disciples become peacemakers when we follow his command to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. You see, it's following the Great Commission that makes us into God's peacemakers. It's being obedient to that command to spread the gospel message that makes us God's peacemakers. It's through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save his people. It's through the gospel words that we speak to people that we meet on an everyday basis, the people we come across week in and week out. It's through the gospel words that God uses to bring about peace between him and other people. You see, the gospel message is the gospel of peace, a message of peace. And the people that take that message into the world are God's peacemakers. They are the people that end the conflict, if you like, between man and God by bringing God's message of peace into a world full of conflict. Remember the first Christmas? The message the angels brought to the shepherds? You know, peace to men from God. That was the message, wasn't it? Peace to men from God. God didn't bring about peace in a world of conflict in a physical sense. What he did was bring about peace between man and God in a spiritual sense. The gospel is the means of peace. And Jesus' disciples are the bringers of that gospel. It's what we're commanded to do. If you're being obedient to our Lord's command in the Great Commission, then you are God's peacemaker. Now perhaps you can see how this follows on from the other Beatitudes. From knowing our need of God, from mourning over our sin, we come to the place of humility. And we have compassion that gives us a heart for the lost. And that is expressed in proclaiming the gospel, because that is the means of salvation. That is what God has called us to do, to proclaim his gospel message, and in doing so, bringing peace to the world. We are not going to stop all the conflicts in this world. We're not going to bring peace to the Middle East. We're not going to be able to resolve every conflict that goes on. In fact, the Bible makes it quite clear that as time goes by, there will become more trouble in this world. There will become more problems. There will become more conflicts. There will be more wars and rumours of wars. We're never going to stop that. The peacemakers God wants us to be are those who bring the gospel message into those situations that man might be at peace with God. And then, we're told, we'll be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. By following the command to spread the gospel message, we immediately become identified as children of God. You see, you can't go out proclaiming the gospel, if it's the true gospel, without knowing what it's all about. You need to understand it in your heart in order to tell other people. So if you're somebody that goes out proclaiming the gospel, that identifies you with Christ. That identifies you with him. It puts you as part of his family. People will see that you are a child of God. See, it doesn't say here that the peacemakers become the sons of God, does it? It says here they are called the sons of God. People recognize in them that they belong to God. If you are obedient to God's command to spread the gospel message. You will be identified with God. You will be seen and recognized as one of God's children because of your desire to be a peacemaker between man and God. You'll be following in the example of God's Son. That's what Jesus did, doesn't it? He became the peacemaker between man and God. He proclaimed the gospel message. And when we do the same, we are identified with him. If you like, it's a family trait. When you enter into God's family, you will have that same desire to proclaim the gospel message that Jesus had. Because you have God's Holy Spirit living within you. And God's Holy Spirit causes us to be obedient to God's commands. Let me sum it up like this. Peacemakers are evangelists. Peacemakers are the channels of the message of salvation. You know, we are called to preach the good news of salvation. We are all called to be God's peacemakers. We are people who have already become sons of God through faith, and now we are revealed as sons of God through obedience to God's word, and specifically in the proclamation of the gospel. This is not the preserve of those who preach and teach from the pulpit. It's not the preserve of some special elite squad that God has called in order to go and bring the good news to the world. We are all called to proclaim the gospel message. We are all called to bring the good news of salvation. We are all called to be God's peacemakers. You know, as we've seen from the beginning of this passage, this Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes are not there as different gifts to different people, but rather different aspects of one Christian character. If you're a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus, it will be your earnest desire that other people should know God's plan of salvation. And it will be your desire to tell them. We have the words of eternal life. Where are they going to hear it from if they don't hear it from you? You have a responsibility, we have a responsibility, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people we meet on a daily basis, people who are currently heading for a lost eternity. If we don't care about those people, we need to start questioning how much God is working in our lives. If we don't care that people are heading to hell, we need to start to question our relationship with God. Because if we're in a right relationship with God, we will desire that they too should be saved. Salvation is the one gift that we don't keep, but we give out to everyone else. How do we do it at being God's peacemakers? I'm not asking you to save the world. God's not asking you to put the whole world to rights. All God's asking each one of us to do is wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, whoever we're with, that we share the good news of Jesus Christ. That we give other people the opportunity to be at peace with God. That we're eager for other people to know what we know, to come into that relationship, to restore that harmonious relationship with God. And when we go out and we tell people in our faltering, stumbling, uneloquent words the truth of the gospel, when we do that, we become God's peacemakers. And people will recognize us as sons and daughters of the living God.